We're holding on Kuf Vav Amud Beis, about the middle of the Amud. The line begins Hakesef. We're in the middle of discussing what the various funds that were in the Beis Mikdash, what they were used for, and particularly we were talking about whether the clay sharis, whether the kalim that are used in connection with the Mizbeach HaChitzin, shchita knives, the bowls for receiving the blood, etc., whether those can be made from Kodshe Berik HaBayis, or whether those are made from the money that's given from Machza Shekel. So we said, Rav said, they cannot be made from Berik HaBayis, they can only be made from Tirmas HaLishka. And we were discussing that point. We brought Psukim in that connection, and we said that one possibility is if they have money left over from Berik HaBayis, then that could work because Lev based in Masna Alehem. But another way of understanding the Psukim is that in fact it is from Tirmas HaLishka exclusively. So now the Gemara says Mesi. The Gemara says I have a further contradiction on Rav.
Called the holiness of it.
So yeah, because we said there's two possibilities. On the one hand, the Mizbeach HaChitzin. Now, unlike, for example, the Mizbeach HaPnimi, which is portable, so that's for sure considered a keli. There's no question that a keli like that, a portable keli, is not made from Berik HaBayis, because by definition, Berik HaBayis is meant for the walls and the structure, the physical plant of the Beis Mikdash. But the question was the Mizbeach HaChitzin. On the one hand, the kalim that on the one it itself is part of the structure; it's built into the ground. On the other hand, the korbanos. On the other hand, then you have the korbanos that are brought in it. So, what are the clay shardis more closely associated with the Mizbeach or the korbanos? So now the Gemara says, "Mase." We have a further contradiction on Rav. A Braisa says, "Hakturus v'chol korbanos tzibur b'orim b'trumas alishka." The Keturis and all the other Korbanos Tzibur are brought, the money for them comes from Terumah Salishka, from the Machzah Shekel, and specifically from the money that they then put in the boxes. We talked about yesterday that they'd fill up three big boxes of coins, and then they fill up smaller boxes from those big boxes, etc., and they use that. Mizbeach HaZahav, Ulavoina. Meanwhile, the Mizbeach HaZahav and the Lavoina that comes together with the Lechem Aponim, or clay shardis and the various clay shardis, boin mi moiso nisachim, those come from moiso nisachim. Now, moiso nisachim literally means the leftovers of the nisachim, and Rashi brings from a Gemara in Menachos that gives two possibilities what that means. One is that they have to measure out amounts that they're selling to the Beis Mikdash. The vendors are selling flour and selling flour in particular to the Beis Mikdash, and then they're using it for the korbanos. Now, when you're the way they used to do it in those days was that when you were buying flour, for example, you would pour into the measure until it's heaped up, and then you'd use a special stick to flatten it out. Now, when it comes to for example, you have, let's say, a certain mincha needs an isorin of flour. So when you're buying from the vendor, he would be expected to give you a heaping measure. So it's more than misorin. Then you flatten it out. That extra, according to one opinion in Menachos, is called mosim nesachim. Hekdesh gets to keep that extra amount. They can't use it for the mincha, though, because they need an exact misorin. So over time, those amounts build up, and then eventually they can sell them. The hekdesh can sell them, and then can use the money for these things for making or repairing the Mizbeach HaZahav and the Levoina and the clay shards. The other possibility the Gemara mentions over there is that now they also have, they would make contracts with the vendors that they were going to supply X amount of such and such a commodity at such and such a price. So the Mishnah in Shkolim gives an example. Let's the way it works is we always say Yad Hekdesh Al HaYon. Hekdesh always has the upper hand if prices go up or down. So for example, if they contracted with somebody and they renew these contracts once a month. So if at the beginning of the month, the contract lasts for a month, in other words. So if they contract with a vendor, for example, that he's going to supply wheat to the Beis Mikdash at the rate of 3 sa'a to a seller. So the hekdesh will pay him a seller. He'll give them 3 sa'a of wheat per seller. Now, over time, during that month, prices go down, and now you can buy 4 sa'a of wheat for a seller. He has to supply hekdesh 4 sa'a. He can't say, well, deal was 3. He has to supply them 4. Meanwhile, they didn't need that much. Therefore, that extra that they're gaining, again, is something extra, which eventually Hekdesh can sell, because bottom of Hekdesh can sell and use the money for these kinds of things. So those are the possibilities of what Moisim is suffering.
Absolutely does.
What?
Absolutely.
The opposite way is also true. If the contract was 4 saw for the seller, and now prices go up and a seller will buy you only 3 saw, the guy still has to supply 4 saw for the rest of that month, right? Yad Hekdesh Al HaYon is the rule, right? So the Braisa continues, Mizbeach Ha'Ola, Halashochas V'Hazaris, when it comes to repairing the Mizbeach Ha'Ola, which is the Mizbeach Ha'Chitzen, or the chambers of the Beis HaMikdash, or the Azaris, going to Kodesh HaBedek HaBayis. All of those are brought from Kodesh HaBedek HaBayis, and Chutz L'Chaymas HaAzara, anything that is outside the wall of the Azara, which would include the Sodeg, the HaRabayis, the rest of the walls of Yerushalayim, those going to Mishyorei Halashochas. Those are all brought from what's left over in the chamber, meaning, so we said yesterday, you have, there's the room in the Beis HaMikdash full of coins. They would take out three boxes, they would fill up the three boxes and take out money from those with those three boxes throughout the year, before Pesach, before Shavuos, and before Sukkot. Whatever's left there come the next Rosh Chodesh Nissan is called Shiorei HaLishka. And now that money is available for projects like that, like repairing the walls of the Harabayis or the walls of Yerushalayim.
They take that and put it somewhere else. Mix up
stuff. I guess they would put it someplace else so they don't mix it up yet. Zuhi Sheshaninu, this is what we learned in the Mishnah in Shkolim, Choyma Seir, Umigloiseha, the repair of the walls of the city and the towers of the city, V'chol Tzorche Ha'ir, or anything else that the city of Yerushalayim needs, Boin Mishyari Halishka. All of those come from Shiori Halishka. So the point is, we're saying in this Braisa that the clay shoris come from Moisim Nesachim, not like Rav is saying that they come from the. So now we have a third source of money. First we were talking about Truma Salishka, the Machzah Shekel. Then we were talking about Bedek HaBayis. Now we're talking about Moisim Nesachim. And the last Braisa that we said says that clay shoris come from Moisim Nesachim, not like Rav said that they come from Truma Salishka. So the Gemara answer is Tanoim. As a matter of fact, it's a Machlokas Tanoim. Ditnan, we have a Mishnah in Shkolim, Moisa Truma Mahayu Oisimba. What would they do with the Moisa Truma? Now, Moisa Truma is like this. So again, we said that they have all the money of the Machzah Shekel. They fill up three big boxes with the coins. Now, whatever, then you have other coins that are left in the room that end up not being used by the next Rosh Chodesh Nissen. That we said before is Moisa Halishka. Now we have within the three boxes themselves, they would fill up smaller boxes from them. And they would use those, they would take those smaller boxes and use them to buy the karbonis, and then they would refill the small boxes from the big boxes those three times of the year. The Rambam has a certain shita that he says to begin with, they would fill up the three boxes right at the beginning, and then the three smaller boxes they would do before Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. Different other Mephoshim learned somewhat differently. Anyway, the point is, there could be coins left in the larger boxes that they're not left in the room, but they're left in the larger boxes and didn't end up being put in the smaller boxes and spent on the korbanos. So that is called Moisa Truma. So what do we do with that? Mahayo Oisimba, Rikoi Zav Tzipoi the base Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the Mishnah says they would use that to make plates of gold to plate the Kodesh HaKadoshim. They would use that money to buy those. Now, then the Mishnah continues and brings several other opinions. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Moisa Peiris L'Kayetz HaMizbeach. Rabbi Shmuel says, Moiser Peiris, the extra of Peiris, which we'll explain in a second what that is, would be used for Kayitz HaMizbeach. So that would be for Korbanos to be brought when otherwise no Korbanos are being brought and the Mizbeach is sitting there empty and the Kohenim have nothing to do. So they would buy Korbanos, Ola, from money of the Tzibur, and they would bring them at such times to keep the Mizbeach and to keep the Kohenim, to keep the Mizbeach full and the Kohenim occupied. So now Rabbi Shmuel says they use Moiser Peiris for that. Moiser Peiris is, We're going to learn a little further that it means, according to Rabbi Shmuel, that the Hekdesh is investing extra money that they have, and then what they get, the profits they get from those investments, is called Moisa Peiris. We're going to talk about that soon in the Gemara. Then Moisa Truma L'Klei Shonis. And Rabbi Shmuel says, the Moisa Truma, not like the Tanakhama had said, that we use that to plate the Kodesh HaKadoshim with gold, rather the Moisa Truma, what's left over in the big boxes that weren't put into the small boxes, is what we use for Klei Shonis. Rabbi Akiva Omer, so the Braisa that we just quoted before that said that they come from Moisa Truma, that's according to Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva says, no, Moisa Truma L'Kayetz HaMizbeach, it's the other way around. Moisa, not the other way around, but differently. Moisa Truma, which you, Rabbi Shmuel, are saying goes for Klei Shoris, that goes for Kayetz HaMizbeach. That left over in the big boxes goes for Kayetz HaMizbeach. Moisa Nesachim L'Klei Shoris. What? Yeah, it's an argument. We have a multi-way machlokas in this Mishnah. Yeah, Moser Nesachim. So yeah, Rabbi Shmuel had said that Moser Truma goes for Klei Shoris. Rabbi Akiva is saying no, that goes for Kayetz HaMizbeach. Meanwhile, what Rabbi Shmuel had said goes for Kayetz HaMizbeach, Moser Peiris, the Mishnah is going to go on to say, and we're going to explain in the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva doesn't even believe that there is such a thing as Moser Peiris, because as we're going to say, he holds Hekdesh is not allowed to make investments, as we're going to see soon.
Everything you're saying here is based on what?
They're based on, either they had, evidently they had Kabbalah from the Rebbeim, that's how it should be. One possibility is that in general, that they, some of the Mepharshim explain that they would take the view, what is more common and what is less common in terms of the inflows of money versus what is more common and less common in terms of what they're spending it on. For example, Tafta Tosfa says something along those lines earlier in the Sugya. For example, repairing the Mizbeach or buying new clay shardis is not something they have to do necessarily that often. So therefore, it doesn't have to be from something that where there's a constant source of money. On the other hand, for example, the Karbonis, we know that that's Xeris HaKosav, they have to come from Trumas HaLishka, but the various other things, we figure out basically how often do we need them, and therefore, and we plan accordingly. So Rabbi Akiva says, Moser Nesachim L'Klei Shardis, what's left over from the Nesachim, like we said, either what they flattened out the flour after they measured it, or we said the extra that the vendor would have to supply the Beis Mikdash, that goes for Klei Shardis. So we quoted before, Braisa said that the Klei Shardis came from Moser Nesachim, that's according to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Chanina Sgana Koyinim, and Rabbi Chanina Sgana Koyinim says yet another opinion, Moser Nesachim L'Kayitzam Mizbeach, the leftover of the Nesachim, which Rabbi Akiva just said goes for clay shardis, actually that goes for Kayetz on his behalf, Moser Truma, the clay shardis. And what Rabbi Akiva are saying, Moser Truma, which goes for Kayetz on his behalf, I say it goes for clay shardis. So Rabbi Chanina Sgana Koyinim, in other words, is saying exactly the opposite of Rabbi Akiva. So Rav, when he said before that the clay shardis come from Truma Salishka, So that would go, we said, from Moser Truma, from what's left over in the boxes, which ultimately came from Truma Salishka. It came from what was placed in the three large boxes from the coins in the room. So therefore, when Rav said at the top of the Amud that they come from Truma Salishka, then he's following Rav Chanina Sgana Koyinim. So therefore, if there's another Braisa, then that doesn't contradict him, because that goes according to a different one of the Tanoim. And the Mishnah finishes off. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Chanina Sgana Koyinim both disagree with Rabbi Shmuel and say there's no such thing as Moser Peiris. So here, Rabbi Shmuel had said there is Moser Peiris, and you use it for Kayetz HaMizbeach. Both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Chanina Sgana Koyinim disagree with that and say there is no Moser Peiris. Therefore, if you need sources for Kayetz HaMizbeach, the Klei Shardis, then you need other sources, namely Moser Nesachim and Moser Truma, respectively. So either Moser Truma, which would be would be the money that's left over in the large boxes come the next Rosh Chodesh Nissan, or Moser Nesachim, what Hekdesh gets extra from the vendors.
That little extra you can buy extra.
Well, over time, it adds up. You think of how many people are bringing korbanos. By the way, the Mishnayos in Shkolim bring explain in some detail, and actually it was just in Rambam Shlosh Prakim a couple of days ago, that they had a whole system in the Beis Mikdash. You wouldn't just generally bring your own flour for korbanos, because how do you know it was made to the standards of the Beis Mikdash in terms of the quality, in terms of tara and so forth. So they had a whole system set up where the Beis Mikdash would sell people the flour and the wine and the oil that they needed for Nesachim. And in turn, the Beis Mikdash themselves, the Gizbarim, would buy it from vendors. So over time, if you think of every time they're measuring out flour, they have to measure out a heaping measure, and then we're going to flatten it out. After a very short time, when you consider the amounts that the Beis Mikdash is buying, then you're soon going to have quite a lot of flour to resell. Or the same thing with the fluctuations in prices. Over time, you're going to end up with every time Yad Hekdesh Alo Yona. Over time, you're going to end up with quite a lot of grain that you can deal with. Yeah. So Peiris Ma'i. So the Gemara says, what do we mean by Peiris? Where Rabbi Shmuel is saying that there's Moser Peiris, and Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Chanina Sgana Koyinim are saying that there's not. So like this, the Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. Moser Truma Mahayu Isimba, when they had the leftover Truma, what was left over in the three big boxes come Rosh Chodesh Nissan from last year's Machzor Shekel. And again, we can't use it anymore for these years Korbanos. So for this year's Korbanos, so what do we do with it? Loikhen Peiris Bezoil, they use it, Hekdesh will use that to buy produce at a low price, or Moichu Noisin Beyoker, and they'll sell it at a markup, they'll make a profit on it. And the profit that Hekdesh makes from it, they'll use for Kayetz HaMizbeach. So that's what Rabbi Shmuel means when he says Moser Peiris, the Kayetz HaMizbeach. We mean that kind of thing, where Hekdesh would invest their extra money in the whatever money they didn't need that was left over from last year's machzor shekel in produce, which they would resell. But then, my what do we mean when we say that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Chanina Sgana Kohenim disagree about that? So the Tanan. So like this. We learn in a Mishnah in Shkolim, Moshe Shiori Lishka Maha Yoris Ben, that what do they do with the leftover of what remained in the Lishka? Now, this Mishnah is saying a little differently than the Braisa we just said before. Before, we just said Moshe Truma, which is left, what's left over in the big boxes come the following Rosh Chodesh Nissan. Moshe Shiori Alishka would rather be, as we discussed yesterday, we said before on the Amud, that the Shiori Alishka, what's left over in the chamber, in the room full of money, come Rosh Chodesh Nissan, they can use that for infrastructure projects in Yerushalayim, repairing the walls, repairing the towers, etc. Then once they use the money for that, if they have extra money still left over after that, then that's Moshe Shiori Alishka. So what do they do with that? So Rabbi Shmuel says they use that to buy wine and oil and flour, and they resell it, and the profit goes to Hekdesh. Give it Rabbi Shmuel. So that's Moshe Peres. Rabbi Akiva Omer, but Rabbi Akiva says no. Ein mistakim b'shal Hekdesh af lo b'shal aniyim. You're not allowed to invest and then try to turn a profit with money of Hekdesh, or also, by the way, with money of aniyim, with money that was collected for tzedakah for the poor. So the Gemara says, so therefore, that's what we mean when we said Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Chanina Sgana Kohenim, loy ho yomodim a peiris, meaning that they disagreed with Rabbi Shmuel. They said there is no such thing as peiris, such that there should be mos of peiris at all. So if we need sources of funding for clay shardis and kaitzam is bath, then we have to find them elsewhere.
So
according to them, that leftover money would be used. They'd leave it in a room or something. They wouldn't go in, they'd use it. They wouldn't invest it. That's the point. Not allowed to invest it, right? So why not? B'shal hekdesh my time aloy. Why shouldn't they? Because ein anius b'mokem ashirus. We say we don't act. The Beis Mikdash is the place of the ultimate riches. Hashem owns all the money in the world. Liakesef liazav nuum Hashem tzvakas. So it's not appropriate that we should be taking money of hekdesh and having to invest it as though like we're poor and we have to earn extra money.
Someone donates something, so that's a good
Donate something you take, but to go and invest it as if like we don't have enough money, we need to invest to make more, that we can't do, says Rabbi Akiva.
It's also strange that Kohen Hanim didn't involve business.
Well, the fact that they're involved with business, I mean, that's the job of the Gizborim, the treasurers of the Beis Mikdash. They are responsible for the business of the Beis Mikdash. They are responsible. Yeah, when people donate things to Bedek HaBayis, for example, they're not always donating things that Bedek HaBayis can actually use the item itself. Sometimes they might. A person donates a stone, a piece of wood, or whatever, but you could equally well have that a person donates anything. There's a mission in Me'ilah, I think, that mentions, for example, a person donates to the Beis Mikdash a garbage dump. What are they going to do with that? Nothing, but they can sell it. It's an asset. They can sell it, and then, yeah. The shalaniyim my time aloy, and why does Rabbi Akiva say you can't invest money of aniyim? Because duma misrami lahu anya, because then it might happen the money is invested. Meanwhile, a poor person comes and needs tzedakah, the lekel lames, and you can't give it to him because the money is tied up in investments.
Okay, make sure they always do
this. But you could say in principle, but what if aniyim come all at once? So that's the rule. There are details about that in halacha. If you have cases, for example, where if they keep the money around, then it's gonna start rusting, or you could have other problems. Then you have dinim about the coins are gonna start rusting or whatever. Then you have dinim about what you can do with it. But yeah. Okay, now let's get back to the topic of our perek, which is the various machloikas in between Chonan, we started the perek by saying you have the Shnei Dayon Xeris, Admon and Chonan ben Abishalom. We said there were two dinim that Chonan said, which the other Chachamim disagreed with him. And the first one was, we said that if a man has gone to Medina Sayyam and his wife comes to Beis Din and says, I need mezonis, my husband didn't leave me anything, then Chonan says she has to swear basoif and not batchila. And Bnei Kohenim Gdolim said she needs to swear Batchilo Vasoif, where Basoif, Rashi had said, meant if we hear, as we're going to discuss in our Gemara now, if we hear that he died and she wants to collect her ksuba, she's first going to have to swear that she didn't previously collect any of it during her husband's lifetime. Or the other possibility is, we mean if the husband himself comes back and says, I did leave her mezonis, then Chonon is saying we're going to have to make her swear at that point that she truthfully didn't have anything at the time. So now we're going to be discussing those points in the Gemara now.
Seif means again.
So seif would mean at the end, after the whole story is over, after we hear that the husband is dead, or after he comes back and says, "I don't know what you're talking about. I left you money."
Tchila
would mean when she first comes to Beis Din to ask for mezonos, right? So now, so the Gemara says, "Itmar." So we have a discussion of Amiroyim on a point which now is going to end up relating back to this. Rav Oma Poiskin Mezonis La Ishasish. Rav said that if an Ishasish, a married woman, comes to Beis Din and says, "I need Mezonis," then Beis Din will arrange it. So if the guy went to Medina Sayam, then Beis Din will go and start dealing with his property and sell as necessary in order to raise money for her Mezonis. Itma means it was said, meaning this is how we introduce a machlokes of Amiroi. It literally means it was said. Itamar, I guess it would really be properly, which means it was said from the church of Omar.
So it
means learned. Okay. Yeah. Whereas Shmuel says we don't do that. In other words, we leave her, she'll have to figure things out for herself. She can borrow money from people, and later on her husband will have to pay it back when he comes back, for example. Let's figure out. Let's work out the details. So Omar Shmuel, Moideli Abba, B'shloisha Chadosh Marishonim. First of all, Shmuel says, you should know that Abba, which is Rav, agrees to me if it's during the first 3 months. Why he calls him Abba? So there's a few possibilities. It can be a title of respect. Rav was, in fact, older than Shmuel. So it can be like Shmuel is saying he's like my father. Or it can be that Abba was actually Rav's personal name. That was his first name. And since they're chaverim, then he's calling that. Anyway, so Shmuel says, Abba, which is Rav, agrees to me, b'shloisha chadosh marishonim, when it comes to the first 3 months after the husband leaves, that Beis Din doesn't deal with her. They say, you have to figure things out for yourself. Because we can assume a person doesn't leave his house completely empty. There must be some food or some money in there that she can use those first 3 months. After that, if she doesn't have anything, then we start dealing with it. And I mean, suppose it happens that there really isn't, then fine, you know, during those 3 months, then she can collect tzedakah. She'll be considered a poor woman. So we're not going to go. The point is, we're not going to go and start unilaterally selling off assets and properties of his in order to raise money for her when we have this chazaka. Now, so the Gemara analyzes the machlokes. B'sheshomu boishem mes. If we hear that the husband died while he was away, kula amalei pligi, then there's no machlokes that Beis Din should provide mezonos for her. Because when you think about it, now the Gemara is going to further in the next couple of lines. The Gemara is going to explain why in a case where lo shomu bo shemes, why shouldn't we allow her to collect mezonos necessarily? Why is Shmuel saying that we tell her no? Why ain't poskin mezonos leishas ish? So the Gemara in the next couple of lines is going to give two reasons. Number one, he might have given her, he might have set aside a bundle of money for her for the purpose. So therefore, what do you mean you don't have anything? Your husband left you that in order for you to support yourself during the time. And the other possibility is because the husband might have told her, instead of you giving me your maisa yodav, which usually she would do, and in return I'll give you mezonos, instead, your maisa yodaych will make up for your mezonos. You go and support yourself with your maisa yodaych. So if the guy died, then Rashi points out there's no reason to worry about either of those things, because ultimately, if we hear that he died, she's going to collect uksuba. At that point, when she collects uksuba from the yisomim, she's anyway going to have to swear that she didn't keep anything that she wasn't supposed to. And the tzi masiyah daich mizun esayich. Look, at this point, if we hear he's dead, then she's not giving him her masiyah deha anyway. And Rashi adds, even though it is true, we learned a couple of prakim ago that she has to still do maisi yodayah for the yisomim, but nevertheless, they can't tell her tzi maisi yodayah from the zenesayah unilaterally. Even the husband can't, she has to agree to it. So when it comes to if shomu boi shemes, then there's no problem, loy pligi, there's no kula amu loy pligi, then there's no machlokas. Beis Din can go ahead and arrange for mezonos for her, because one way or the other, she's supposed to be getting either mezonos or ksuba, so fine, she can certainly start getting money. Now what we mean by shomu boy, it can mean that we heard a rumor, so we don't have any actual solid edus of it, or it can mean, some of the Rishonim explain, it means we're talking about, let's say that there were, I think the Ritva says that it means that there was hearsay, that Edim come and say, we heard from other people that he died. So keep pligi b'shaloi shomu b'shemes. The machlokas is if we didn't hear that he died. So Rab Amar Poskin, the Hamas Shubadla. So Rab says we're still going to have to arrange her mazonis. Look, the husband has a shibud dur to provide her mazonis as long as they're married. Therefore, we have. Therefore, if he's not available, then Beis Din has to step in on his behalf. Or Shmuel Amar Ein Poskin. Now Shmuel says that we don't. My timer. So why not? So Rav Zvid Omer Emet. So now we have the two reasons that we just said. Rav Zvid Omer Emet Tsurori Apisa. Rav Zvid says because we have to think that maybe he left her a bundle of money for the purpose. Rav Papa Omer Chashin and Shema Omerla Tsimas Yadachim Zonisayev. And Rav Papa says because we're concerned that he might have made an arrangement with her that she which she accepted that she'll keep her Maisi Yadeha and therefore he won't provide Mazonis and therefore we have to be concerned that that might have been the case and she agreed to that.
Why would she be going to Beis Din if she could continue just taking her own?
Because let's say, for example, that so as the Gemara is going to point out, yeah, it might be that she's not producing enough Maisi Yadeha to be able to provide the amount of Mazonis that she needs. In fact, Tosva says one way of understanding it is if Shomu Boy Shemes, then look, we have no proof that he gave her tsrori or that he told her tzimas yadat and zanisayich. So if Lois Shomu Boy Shemes, then look, why is he not back yet? It must be, I mean, he's not going to leave his wife high and dry. He must have left or something. It's one thing if he died, people die unexpectedly. So you can say maybe he expected to be back by now and he expected to be back, like we said, within the 3 months or something, and he wasn't. And therefore, so he didn't leave anything behind because he expected to be back sooner than that. But if he's still alive and out there, he wouldn't just be leaving her without anything. Therefore, we have a much stronger reason to assume that either he gave her tsurori or he arranged with her about Maisi Yadeha. And Tosfos also discusses in that connection that what it can mean is that Lois Shomu Boy Shemes means, so why is he not back? Because there's some kind of unavoidable delay. For example, we had earlier in the Masechta, let's say, for example, he missed the ferry and now it's going to be a couple of days before he gets back. But still, Tosfos says, listen, I mean, you know, that's not going to delay him more than a couple of days. So it's Lois Shchiach, it's very uncommon that such a delay should delay him long term like that.
Bad weather in the
winter. Yeah, but even bad weather, there's only so long that it's going to be. Yeah. So anyway, so the Gemara says, "My benayu." What is the practical difference between Rav Zvid's and Rav Papa's reasons? And in fact, the Ra'ah says they're not actually arguing. Each of them is giving a valid reason. The Gemara is just wondering, what is the practical difference between those two reasons? And the answer is, "Ikav benayu dolo v'lo sofka." One possibility is if the wife is an adult, but the Maisi Yadeha that she's producing is not enough. To provide for her mazonis. So according to the opinion that Srori Apasa, then we would say, nevertheless, maybe he left her money for that purpose. According to the Tzimasi Yadayim Mazonisayat, she has every right to say, the fact is, my Siyadayim are not enough for it. Inami Kitana Vasofka, or vice versa, that it could mean that she's a Ketana, where a Ketana doesn't really have the ability to be Moichel, and in fact her Maisi Yadeha are enough to provide for her Mazonis, but nevertheless, since she's a Ketana, she can't really validly be Moichel. So even if he told her, see Maisi Yadeha Mazonis Sayet, and she agreed, we can't necessarily hold her to that.
Well, maybe a Ketana can only do less Maisi Yadeha.
Maybe a Ketana can do less Maisi Yadeha, yeah. And in fact, I think the Ritva says something along the lines of you could have, let's say, where maybe if she works extra hard, she'll be able to make her Maisi Yadeha last to provide her Mazonis, but not if she produces just the minimum amounts that we learned earlier in the Masechta. So now the Gemara says Tanan, let's look at our Mishnah and see which one, now that we've analyzed and we understand Rav's and Shmuel's respective opinions, let's see which one fits better with our Mishnah. We said in the Mishnah, Misha Holach the Medina Sayam, a man went overseas, the Ishte Tevas Mazonis, and his wife is coming to Beis Din and demanding Mazonis. So we said Chonan Omer Tishava B'Soif Lo Tishava B'Tchila. So Chonan says she has to swear at the end when she collects her ksuba that she didn't keep anything she wasn't supposed to. We said Nechlok Ola B'nei Koinim Gdolim. The sons of the Koinim Gdolim argued Omer Tishava B'Tchila B'Soif. They said she has to swear when she first comes to Beis Din that she hasn't been left anything, as well as at the end when she collects her ksuba or when her husband comes back. So now. Ad kan le pligi ela le inyan shvua. Now the argument between them is whether she has to take a shvua or not. Avol mizoni yavin in law. It sounds like either way, Beis Din does arrange mizonis for her. So how can Shmuel say ein poskin mizonis la ishas ish? The answer is Tirgma. the answer is Tirgum HaShmuel, v'sheshomu boishim mes. So Shmuel says, fine, the Mishnah will be talking about where we heard that he died. Where again, we said before, Tosfos says that maybe Shomu Boishim Mes can actually mean that there were actually two Edim for it. And there are Rishonim will learn that it may not mean two Edim, because it wouldn't just be called Shomu Boy, that the two Edim is his actual Edos. It means, for example, that they heard by hearsay or something. So the Gemara says, therefore, the Mishnah is talking about that case. So yes, in that case, they arrange mazonis, but not, we just said before, then Rab is saying, then Shmuel is saying, in poskin, because of tsrori, or because of tsimasi, that mazonis ayah. So he says the Mishnah is not addressing that case at all. Okay, the Gemara says, Toshma, Misha holach l'medina siyam v'ishta tevas mazonis. A braisa says, if a man went to Medina siyam, and his wife comes to Beis Din demanding mazonis, so then the Bnei Konim Golem say that she has to swear before she can collect the Mazonis. Chonan Omer Loi Tishava. Chonan says she doesn't need to, because that's the same thing as our mission. He says that Batchila, at the beginning, when she first comes to Beis Din, she doesn't need to swear. Only Basoif, only at the end, when the husband comes back, or when we find out that he's dead, then she's going to need to swear.
What's Bnei
Konim Golem? Means the son, but it means exactly what it sounds like, the sons of a Konim Golem. Apparently, what it is we find, for example, in the histories of that period, like in Josephus's writings, we know the concept that they were selling the Kohen Gadol every year. Many of the Kohenim died in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Not all of them, apparently, though, and some of them were just removed after a year. Apparently, what happened was, so Josephus describes actually that over time, these Bnei Kohenim Gadolim became a very powerful political party. But apparently, if we see from the Gemara over here, they were also great Tamar Chachamim, and their opinion in Halacha is worthy of being recorded in the Mishnah and discussed in the Gemara. Maybe it's a different set of Bnei Kohenim Gadolim. Maybe there was one group that were the tough guys and a different one who were the Tamar Chachamim. I guess, you know, when you have a group like that, you can't necessarily generalize. Anyway, So continues the Braisa. The imbav oma pasakti l'mazonis, if the husband comes back and says, I did arrange for mazonis for her, meaning I gave her tsrori, I gave her a bundle of money for the purpose, neman, then we believe him. Now, what does it mean we believe him? Rashi says that once he takes a shavua, she's going to actually have to reimburse everything that Beis Din arranged for her while he was away. Because the fact is, he's saying, I gave tsrori. Tosfos disagrees with that and says not necessarily. What it means is Nemon, it means that we can believe him to the sense that she's going to now have to take a shvua. And let's say, for example, all this time she's been borrowing money to provide for her food. So now she's saying, my husband should reimburse me now that he's back. So now, according to Tosfos, when we say Nemon, means since he says, I gave her tsrori, and we believe him, means she's going to have to take a shvua and then once she takes a shvua, then she'll be able to get reimbursed by her husband to pay back the debts. Otherwise, if she doesn't do that, she's going to be on the hook to repay them herself.
Or come out of a shvua, right.
So that's Naman. So again, the point is that we're saying that, that meanwhile, Beis Din is arranging for Mazonis for her, and the question is only what happens when the husband comes back. So the answer is Hochanami b'shama b'shemes. The answer is also the Brai says talking about when they heard that he died. The one says, what do you mean? Bava amakama. It says if the husband comes back. So the answer is imbala achashmua. It means there was a shmua, whether it was two edim, whether it was hearsay, whatever it is, that he's dead. And then it turns out he's actually alive. So Shmuel agrees, once Shomo Boshemes, we start arranging for Mazonis for her. Meanwhile, the guy comes back after many years, as in one of those Marcus Lehmann stories or something. And then we're talking about what we have to do in terms of shvuos and claims and counterclaims and whatnot. Okay, so the Gemara says, Toshma, another braisa, let's bring. Misha holach l'medina siyam v'ishta tevas Mazonis. He went to Medina siyam, his wife is demanding from Beis Din Mazonis. V'im bov omar, so if he had come and said that, then said that you're going to keep your Maisiya Daich and I won't have to give you Mazonis, Rashoi, then he's able to do that. Kodmu Beis Din, Oposku Masha Posku, but if before he did that, Beis Din went ahead and arranged for her Mazonis, then whatever they arranged, Masha Posku, whatever they arranged is a done deal, and So we see they do arrange it. And the answer is Hochanan, Shomu Boshemes. Again, the Braisa can be talking according to Shmuel, we're Shomu Boshemes.
And even this is only after 3 months, right?
That's what we're saying, only after 3 months, right? Where Shmuel is saying, even Rav will agree that during the first 3 months, we assume Einon Maniach Beis HaReikon, and Beis Din is not obligated to arrange for anything for her. So again, she could, meanwhile, during that time, she could be borrowing money from people, and then later on she'll pay them back. She could be, if necessary, taking tzedakah. She could whatever. Okay. Toshma, Misha holach to Medina Siyam v'ishta tevas mezonis. Another braisa says that if a man goes to Medina Siyam and his wife is demanding mezonis, based in yodim l'nechasa, based in goes into his property, and they arrange for food and for parnasa, which is clothing and whatnot for his wife, but not for his sons or her daughter, not for his sons and daughters, not for his children, for reasons that the Gemara is going to explain in a second, and also not for something else, which the Gemara is going to explain soon what that something else is. So now, again, you see, based in Yodin and Chazab, how is Shmuel going to understand that? And here we can't say that we're talking about that we heard that the guy is dead, because then if we heard the guy is dead, then of course we're supporting his children. His children at that point are yaushening his property. So it has to be that we haven't heard that he's dead. So why is the Braisa saying that based in Yodin and Chasav according to Shmuel? The answer is Omer of Sheshes b'mashres ishtayayde shalosh, because this last Braisa is talking about where he arranges for a third party who is going to be an apotropos over his property, and he will arrange for giving her mezonos. We talked about such an arrangement earlier in the Masechta and Daf Samach Dalim.
It was made with his husband.
So the husband arranges with a shalish, with a third party, that guy is going to be responsible for supporting his wife, which we talked about there. We had in the Mishnah the various minimum amounts of food that he has to provide her per week, and then the various other arrangements that has to be done. So now, obviously, there's no tsurari. So now there's no possibility of tsurari, because if there was tsurari, he wouldn't need an apotropos to supply her food. Obviously, the only possibility is there's no possibility of tzimasi yadai from mezonosayach. Again, because he arranged with somebody to provide her her mezonos. He's saying, I'm going to be out of town the next few months, so you are responsible for providing her mezonos. So then, in that case, what was the whole reason we said why Shmuel would say that we don't arrange mezonos for her is because either tzurari apisa, or either we provide with tzurari or tzimasi yadai from mezonosayach. In this case, obviously, neither one of those applies. Therefore, Shmuel is going to have to agree that in that case, we, based in, is responsible for providing for mezonos. Okay, so the Gemara asks, Hihochi bonim of nois of nami. Well, by that logic, they should have to, at that point, provide for his children as well. And the answer is, k'hishra lazu, v'loi hishra lazu. The answer would be that he arranged with the third party to provide for his wife, but not for his children. So therefore, so now, Beis Din is taking over from that apotropos for her, but not for the children, because he didn't arrange anything. It must is my psukah, where how can the Braisa say such a blanket statement that we do for the wife and not for the children, on the assumption that he did for his wife and not for his children? Why would it be like that? Why would he arrange only for one and not for the other? Which Tosfos understands it a little bit differently. So we're saying for his wife there's nothing of tzurari, but his children, though, usually they're somoch al shulchan, they're eating by his table, they're relying on him to support them. So therefore, if he didn't arrange a shalish, it means he probably left them tzari. He left them tzari. But then the question is, why would we assume that his wife, he arranged a shalish, and his children, he would have given them tzari? What's the logic? The answer is that the shama by shemes doesn't mean, as we said all along, two edim, or two edim on hearsay or whatever. It means that there's one aid comes and says the husband is dead. So he, the Ibois in Surah Be'ed Echad, now she is allowed to remarry based on the testimony of one aid, as we learned in Yerumas. Therefore, Motzi Mintzvah, she's allowed to remarry. Mezonis, Nami Yavinimah, so therefore we give her Mezonis as well, because like Rashi said earlier on the Omer, one way or the other, at this point she's entitled. Either she's entitled to Mezonis, or she's entitled to her full Ksuba. So one way or the other, we can start providing for her. Whereas when it comes to his children, they're not able to start taking over his property and yaushening it and then dividing it among themselves based on only one aid. The Chachamim gave a special heter for one aid that a woman can remarry in order that Bnos Yisrael don't stay agonis. And we said, because Isha Daiko Minsaba, she'll be very careful. She'll be very careful that what the aid is saying is correct, because she knows all the various consequences if she remarries and her husband turns up alive. But when it comes to yarishing his property, we need solid aiders that he's dead. One aid is not enough. So therefore, Mezonin Nami, Lo Yabin and Lohu. So therefore, Beis Din is not going to arrange Mezonis for them either, because we don't know yet whether they're actually entitled to them. Okay.
On the other hand, It's more chomer than.
Eishes ish is of course more chomer, but on the other hand, there is the fact that the chum gave a special heter for eishes ish in order because of the takonis benoisi Yisrael and because isha daiko mincava those considerations don't apply to yarsh.
No, just because they have to eat.
Yeah, okay, they have to eat, but then that's what we're saying. So Beis Din is not going to arrange it. So again, either they can work, they can work and support themselves, or it's stuck, as the case may be. Right. Okay, the Gemara says, my Dover Acher. Now, we said before that in this case, Beis Din doesn't supply Dover Acher. So what is that Dover Acher? Rav Chista, I'm a tachshit. Rav Chista says it means cosmetics and perfumes for her, because her husband's away, she doesn't need it. Rav Yosef, I'm a tzedakah. Rav Yosef says it means they don't arrange that she should have extra money available to give tzedakah. So the Gemara says, Manda, I'm a tachshit, koshken tzedakah. The opinion that says that we won't arrange tachshit for her would say all the more so that Beis Din is not going to arrange. In other words, what do we mean by tzedakah? Rashi explains. So you have every so often there'll be an assessment of tzedakah on the people of the city. Every so often you'll have, we need X amount of money for the aniyim, for the upcoming season or whatever. So we're going to assess. Each family has to contribute X amount. Beis Din will figure out family by family how much they can afford. So now we don't do that. We don't put an assessment on her during this time while her husband is away. So if we say that she doesn't get tachshit, then kol shekin tzedakah, all the more so tzedakah. Because we don't know what the husband would have wanted as far as that. Manda amat tzedakah, but the opinion that says that we don't take out tzedakah from his funds for that, aval tachshit yabin in law, tachshit we will give her even though her husband is away, because we can assume the husband doesn't want his wife to be unattractive. If she doesn't have perfumes or cosmetics or whatever, she's going to end up looking unattractive, and therefore he may not want that even though he's out of town.
Well, it's only for him.
It's only for him, but still, she also needs to look decent in front of people. Okay, so again, no proof from this last brisa against Shmuel, because this is talking about a special case. First, we said that Hishril Azu, Valay Hishril Azu, and then we said it's talking about Eidecha, whereas before we were talking about two Eidim.
Hishril means
that he arranged with a third party to provide for her, but not for his children. Okay, the Gemara says, Tashma, let's try to bring another proof. A brisa says, Hayivama Gimel Chadashim Arushanim Nizonis Mishal Baila, a Yavama who's waiting for Yibum Chalitza during the first 3 months. Now, 3 months, as we learned in Yavamas and also earlier in our Masechta, a woman is not allowed to remarry after her husband dies or divorces her for 3 months because she might be pregnant and we want to be able to tell whether the baby is from her first husband or her second husband. In the case of a Yavama, actually, you have another consideration as well, which is, if she's pregnant, then and if she ends up having a baby, the Yavam can't do Yibum with her, then it would be Arayas. And Chalitza is ineffective during that time also, because Chalitza can only be if Yibum was in principle possible. So during those 3 months, where she's anyway stuck and she can't marry or do Yibum or do Chalitza or anything, Nizonis Mishabayla, she continues to be supported by her husband's estate. Because after all, the reason why she's not married during this time is because of her husband. It's still a continuation of her marriage to him. Mikan ve'elach, after that, says the Mishnah, ein nizonis lo mishal baila v'lo mishal yavam. She's not supported anymore by her husband or by her yavam. Her husband already, because at that point, the fact that she's not doing chalitza or yibum is not because of her husband anymore. 3 months have passed, and the yavam has not yet done one or the other, so he's not yet required to support her. But Omer Badin, but if they went to Beis Din and she says to him, either do Yibum or Chalitza, let's get on with things, or Barach, and then he ran away, Nizonis, Mishon Yavam, then she starts getting supported out of the Yavam's property because at that point he's already obligated to do either Yibum or Chalitza. So therefore, if he ran away, then we penalize. And actually, Tosfos discusses based on the Gemara and Yavamas and what Rashi says over there. One possibility is Rashi brings over there that it would only be if he ran away because then it's a knas. But Tosfos disagrees with that and says that no, brings from Rabbi Hananel, who in turn brings from the Yoshami, that the same thing would also be, for example, if he's not doing the Yibum or the Chalitza because he's sick, for example. So even though it's an oynes, nevertheless, because 3 months have passed already, and in principle, he could have already done Yibum or Chalitza. So that's what Tosfos explains. In other words, we're talking about Omer Bedin. They went to Beis Din. She says, no, do one or the other. Before he gets around to doing it, he becomes sick. Nevertheless, we would say Nizonis Mishal Yavam, because at that point, we say, you know what, if you had listened to the Beis Din right away and done one or the other, then we wouldn't be having this problem.
Plus, this Yavam already got their goods from the husband.
Well, no, he doesn't actually yaushin from the husband until he does Yibum. So no, he doesn't have the goods from the husband.
So then where's the, who's taking, who has the money for the goods?
So right now, right now, the money is still sitting over there, maybe based in appoints a trustee for it or whatever. But yeah, it's still up in there, yeah.
And of course, a few brothers, you go to the next brother.
Right, well, there's that also, right. Okay, so anyway, so the point is that we see that you have a case over there where you have a case over there where Beis Din is arranging for Mizonis out of the property of the Yavam. So by the same logic, why shouldn't we say that Beis Din should appoint should arrange for Mizonis for a married woman? Which was the beginning, which is that's the whole point. That's the machlok of Rav and Shmuel. The answer is Amalach Shmuel. The answer is Shmuel will tell you that's a special case. L'may nechosh lo lahai. Because in this particular case, which of the two possibilities that we said on Amud Aleph, why we shouldn't give her Mizonis, which one of them would apply? Imishum Tsurari, is it that he might have given her a bundle of money? He wouldn't. He's not yet on such close terms with him. They haven't actually done Yibum yet or anything. So therefore, he's not necessarily a husband. We can assume before he goes out of town, he's going to want to arrange for his wife. So he's going to give her a bundle of money. A Yavam, not necessarily.
Especially over here,
he ran away. Yeah,
but he didn't get the money from the husband yet.
Well, there's that. Well, fine, he has money of his own, but still, imishum maisia deha. And if you're going to say it's because he might say instead of giving me your maisia deha, you keep your own mazonis. The fact is, loimishtabdele, she's not yet under a shibud dam, because only once they do yibum is that going to happen. Then they're husband and wife. So therefore, there's no possibility that he told her to see Masiya Dachman Mizanasayah. So therefore, said neither of these things apply. Therefore, Shmuel would say, this is a case where I agree that we're going to have to, that Beis Din is going to be responsible for supporting her out of his nechassim. Okay, the Gemara says, Toshma, let's try to bring another proof. A Braisa says, a woman and her husband went overseas. Or boss for Omer Mesbaili, she comes back and says, my husband died. So it depends. She has her choice. She could decide at this point that she's going to get mizonis, or she could decide that she could get her ksuba. So Rashi points out, given that, now when she comes back and says, my husband is dead, we learned in Yevamos that we will believe her and she can get remarried on the basis of that. Again, because Isha Daiko Minsava, she knows what the consequences are if she's lying. The truth is, the Gemara actually did. We had over there at the end of Yevamos, we had a number of scenarios over there. If, for example, she and her husband had been fighting, then that's different, because then we're saying maybe she's trying to get out of a bad marriage or something. But if there was Shalom Beinayim, Shalom Ba'olam, whatever, and she comes back and says, and then if there was a war, then we say that maybe in a panic she thought he was dead and he really wasn't. But if there was Shalom Beinayim and Shalom Ba'olam, and she comes back and says, my husband is dead, then we allow her to remarry. Now, once we allow her to remarry, then she can also collect your ksuba, because that's what's written in the ksuba. When you remarry somebody, then you'll be able to collect your ksuba. So she has her choice. She can either collect mizonis or she can collect your ksuba. On the other hand, continues the Braisa, Gershani Bailey, on the other hand, if she comes and says, my husband divorced me while we were Midasayam, then she can't collect Uksuba, because maybe he divorced her, maybe not. When it comes to Misa, we believe her, because again, we don't want Benois Yisrael to remain Agunas, and because we know that she knows the consequences if she says that. After all, you have to remember, with Misa, if she says he's dead, and then he turns up alive, there's no fooling around. You know, obviously she was lying. On the other hand, if she says Gershani, and he comes back and says, I didn't, okay, it's your word against hers. So not necessarily does it brand her as such a liar that she would be afraid to in the first place. By the way, Udiyu in the Masechta, it says that if a woman says to her husband, to his face, Gerashtani, then we believe her, because of Chazaka, that a woman's not going to have such a child upon him. But here, we're not talking about in his presence, so she might be Me'iza. So therefore, so she says Gershani, then she can get supported, but only up to the value of her ksuba. Meaning, in other words, so we say one way or the other, look, your ksuba was 200 zuz, let's say. So fine, we'll start giving you mazonis out of his estate until it reaches a threshold of 200 zuz. Then 200 zuz you're entitled to regardless. If it's true that he divorced you, then you're entitled to 200. If it's not true that he divorced you, you're entitled to mizonis indefinitely. Fine, once she's collected 200 zuz, then we can say, maybe you're right, maybe you were divorced. Fine, you've collected your ksuba, goodbye.
Yeah, but we learned that the money coming from this, money coming from the yesayman, whatever it is.
Here it's not yesayman, here she's saying I was divorced. So, yeah. So, the money so therefore, is- so...
So the money that comes is can be covered by up until
right. So up until the value of the ksuba, one way Mimonafshach, she's entitled. Mimonafshach, she's entitled to that money. So again, the point is the Braisa is saying that when she says Gershani, then she is able to collect. So the answer is Hochanami to Shamu Boshemes. You can say that what it means is that she's saying to begin with that I was divorced, and later on we hear from Adim that he actually died. So maybe he divorced her first and then he died, or maybe not. So then the Gemara says, "My shnad kedek subasa." So in that case, then why are we only allowing her to collect up to the value of her ksuba? Why not more? Why not more than that? If let's say again we say shashama b'shemes, then she's entitled as an amana to be supported indefinitely.
Oh, amana.
Yeah.
She said herself that.
That's the answer. The answer is dehi dafsida nafsha. The answer is she ruined things for herself because a grusha doesn't get mizonis. So had she not said that, and we had Shomu Boshemes, then yeah, we would say she's an almana and she gets supported indefinitely. Now, Rashi makes a point over here that says, actually, really, if she wants to collect all her, because Shomu Boshemes, if she wants to say to Beistin, you know what, forget about mizonis, just give me my whole ksuba as a lump sum and let me have done with it, then yeah, Rashi says she could do that. What we mean is if she doesn't want to, she's thinking maybe after all, he's not dead and she would rather continue collecting under the name of Mizonis. She's going to think to herself, you know what, I'm claiming that he divorced me, but in fact, he did. And in fact, I know that he didn't. She's claiming it falsely. Or maybe she thinks that he divorced her and it wasn't a valid get, who knows, whatever, anyway. The point is, so she might think that I'd rather keep on collecting Mizonis. This way, if her husband does come back, then her ksuba will still be intact. So that's why we say that we, in order to avoid that she's going to play tricks like that, is why we say she can collect only ad kadek subasa, but no more than that.
That's what she says.
If she says I was divorced, and then later on, shomu boshemes, then after all, so we're saying she might think, okay, shomu boshemes, maybe he actually died, maybe not. So therefore, so she might think, why should I ask for my ksuba as a lump sum? Then if my husband does come back alive and I know he didn't actually divorce me, then I don't get my ksuba at all because then I already collected it. I might as well. I'll double dip like that. So Beis Din is going to say, then therefore, we're only going to allow you to collect up to the value of your ksuba, and that'll prevent her from trying to play around with things like that. Marsha mentions a point over here that Marsha says, what are we talking about? If she knows for a fact that he divorced her, then what do you mean? If her husband comes back, her ksuba is still going to be intact. And if she knows that she's lying, then when the Edom come and say she's dead, why shouldn't she believe them? Why is she going to think that maybe her husband is still alive? So here Marsha says that maybe Shomu Boshemes means less than what we said before, where there were Edom. Here it means there's only a rumor. So now she's thinking to herself, you know what? I know I'm claiming and based in that he divorced me. I know for a fact that that's not true. I'm only doing that in order to try and get something that I shouldn't. Meanwhile, she's going to think, as far as a coil, okay, a coil, you have rumors all the time. My husband is still alive. And therefore she's thinking like that. In turn, the Pnei Yeshua talks further about that. He says that there can be certain advantages to her trying to claim like this. First of all, Pnei Yeshua says we could be talking about that there's only Eid Echad. Like we said before, she might think Eid Echad is not the gold standard of evidence. But also he points out there can be advantages as far as her having to swear a Shvua, when she's going to collect or not, depending whether she claims to be a Grusha or whether she's going to rely on the rumor to say that she's an Amana, will affect whether she has to swear in order to collect her Ksuba. So she may find an advantage in doing that.
So when do you have to swear wrong?
When you're collecting from your son. So if she's an almana, she'd have to swear. If she's a grusha, she may not have to. Yeah. Okay. So the point is, in other words, again, in this particular case, since Kishomu Boshemes, then therefore, again, we said at the beginning of the Sugya that Shmuel agrees Kishomu Boshemes that Beis Din does arrange for Mizonis for her. In this particular case, because she's also claiming that she was divorced, then we have to cap it at the amount of the Ksuba. But the basic fact is that Beis Din will arrange Mizonis for her, and that doesn't contradict Shmuel, because again, Shmuel was talking about we're Loi Shomu Boshemes. Okay.
That's what Shmuel says.
That's when Shmuel says that we don't arrange for her because either it's Tsuri Apisa or Maisia Dak from Zenosai.
That's for the first 3 months.
No, after the 3 months we're talking about. After the 3 months.
Oh, so she never collects.
According to Shmuel, that's what he's saying. As long as we haven't heard that the husband died, then Beis Din cannot go and start selling the guy's property to give her Mizonis. Exactly.
Yeah, even if money was in the way, it only lasts a few months.
No, we can say again, if we didn't hear Shemesh, then we assume that he's away as long as he figured he's going to be away. He figured he's going to be away for 3 months, then he left with 3 months worth of money. He figured he's going to be away for 6 months, then he left with 6 months worth of money, etc. So the Gemara says, Toshma, Ketzad omnu ma'enes ein lamazonis. Let's try to bring another proof. A Braisa says, in what case do we say that a ma'enes does not have mazonis, which we learned in a previous perek, we learned that point that we said a ma'enes, and a couple of we've had a Mishnah that said a ma'enes, and a couple of other cases are not entitled to mazonis. So what are we, ma'enes, a girl who does miyun, a girl that was married off as a tana by her brothers or her mother, and she's able to do miyun. So what do we mean that she doesn't get mazonis? It can't mean when she's still living with her husband. After all, even if she's a ketana, even if her marriage is only dirabonon, still her husband is chayiv and mezonis, like any other husband. What we mean is, suppose her husband went overseas, loves of ofla, then she borrowed money from people in order to get food for herself. Then omdo miyana, and while her husband was still away, or even after he came back, really it doesn't matter, then she did miyun. So now, then we're saying the husband does not have to repay those debts that she incurred, because since she did miyun, then we're saying that causes it that now he's not chayiv and mazonis from now on.
She did miyun only after
she had borrowed the money, right? But still, we said the Mishnah that we had on Kuf Amud Beis said I'm enes ashniyav ayilonis ein lahen. They don't have several things, including mazonis. And we explained over there that what it means is this kind of case where as a ketana she had borrowed money, and then still as a ketana she did miyun, then the husband is not obligated to repay those debts after the fact,
even though they were married then.
Even though at the time they were married. Now, time of the miyana. Now, why are we saying that she doesn't have to pay? Because she did miyun and she undid the marriage. After miyun, it's considered as though they were never married in the first place, retroactively, as if they were never married. Hala miyana yahavinallah, implying if she hadn't done miyun, we would give her. And Shmuel is saying that we don't. The answer is Amalach Shmuel Hochel Amay Nechushla. Because again, we have to consider over the two reasons, Reb Zvid's and Reb Papa's reasons that we said before, which one would apply over here. Imisham Tsurori, is it that we're saying he might have given her a bundle of money? Tsurori, Laktana, Lematis. Nobody gives a bundle of money to a Ktana. She won't necessarily keep it properly. The Imisham Maisi Adeha, and if you're saying because of Maisi Adeha, Ktana, Laisofka, for a Ktana, the amount of Maisi Adeha that she can produce is not going to be enough to supply the amount of food that she needs. So there's no possibility of him telling her to see Maisi Adeha from Zenisayef. Plus, anyway, we said on what Aleph, that Tana can't really be Moichel anyhow. So therefore, Shmuel says, yes, in the case of a Tana, sure, we're going to have to arrange for Mazonis, and if the husband is away, then basically he's going to have to arrange for it. There's no question about that. So we have this machlokes. Then the Gemara is going to go on now, but we'll have to leave this for tomorrow at this point. We'll leave it for Matzah Shabbos, Bez Hashem, what the bottom line is. What is the halacha like in the end, like Rav or like Shmuel? So we'll get into that discussion the next time, Bez Hashem. Shabbat, everyone.